We're going to be talking about the promise that Jesus is going to build his church. Amen. Jesus is going to build his church, Matthew 16. Encourage you to just be there in the Bible. And as always, if you've been in church, you've probably heard some of these before. Even if you haven't been in church, you might have even heard some of these before. But it's the Word of God. It's living and active. It's always relevant, and it's always for us. Do you see that we're part of the culmination of history? So before we jump in, I'm going to pray just that we would be able to believe this once again and walk in the fullness of it. Jesus, thank you that you alone are holy, you alone are wise, you alone are good. We worship your holy name. Thank you that we have the Word of God. God, thank you that we are not left ignorant. You've given us your Spirit so that we can have understanding. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would illuminate and enlighten the Word of God. God, give us eyes to see, hearts to believe. God, I ask for faith to rise up in us. And Lord, that we would live in this victory, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And we love you, and we're so thankful that in you we are now children of the living God. Amen. 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 All right. Jesus is going to build his church. We're going to be in Matthew 16. And yeah, before I jump into this, you know what I'm amazed by? Each one of these little snippets in this scripture is an unbelievably huge event. Do you realize that? Like all these gospels, like we read, you know, it's just a few verses that we read, and then we read the next few verses, and each one of these is an unbelievable event in history in terms of what God is doing and what he's saying in Jesus. So this is Matthew 16. It says, now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, the 12 that were following him, who do you say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Or he said, who do people say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said to them, the setup of Jesus, right? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, being the brilliant man that he is, not really, replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The reason for that was it was going to be at the culmination of the cross that it was going to be fully revealed that he was indeed the Christ. Amazing. Just a simple conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, yet so profound. So he starts off, just this question, who do you say the Son of Man? Who do people say that I am? So these are disciples, they've talked with a lot of people. They've been all over the area, talking with people. People are talking about Jesus all the time. Everyone has an opinion. If Jesus were here, Facebook would be lit up with ideas of who this Jesus is. Because everyone had an opinion about him. Well, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is, you know, like they all had their take. And you know what? The report was good. Everywhere you went, the report was good. You know, like some people think he's John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And it's interesting because it's all good. It's all respectful. It's all honorable. It's kind of noteworthy. Wow. Wow, this is a good report. They think you're a man of God, but this is interesting because it wasn't true. None of that was true. Because think about this. Okay, so you're a teacher like John the Baptist. You're a preacher of repentance. Or Elijah, miracle worker, doing the works of God. That's amazing. Glory to God. You're doing the works of God. Or you're a prophet. You're speaking for God. These are unbelievable marks of God on earth. But it's not true. It's not true. And that's why it says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And here's the thing. How you view Jesus is how you're going to follow him. How you view and say who Jesus is how you're going to follow him. Follow this through. If you believe that Jesus is a prophet, if you believe that he's like, yes, he's a man of God, he speaks for God. No one speaks and teaches like Jesus does. You'll listen to him. You will. But will you surrender your life and follow him? Do you see what I mean? If he's a miracle worker, oh, Jesus is a miracle worker. He's got power from heaven. He can change things. He can change lives. I've seen it. If that's what you believe about him, you know what? That's great. You'll go to him with your problems. But will you follow him when everything's fine in your life? Or a prophet, he's speaking for God. Like I said, you'll listen. You'll pay attention. You know, like, you'll heed what he says, but would you worship a prophet? No. See, that's what Jesus is driving at. It's like, these are good things, you know, like, but they're not true. Who do you say that I am? Because I'm not a prophet. I'm not a miracle worker. Sure, I'm speaking for God. Yes, I'm doing miracles, but that's not who I am. Who do you say I am? And Peter, right away, says this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now you need to know that right after this, Jesus rejoices, says you are blessed. The favor of God is on you because you didn't come up with that. Isn't that amazing to think about? You didn't come up with that. God the Father up in heaven gave you that revelation. Isn't that amazing? So here's the deal. Like, Jesus had said these things before. So I think Peter simply said this. You know, like, these aren't new words. Yes, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. But Jesus is like, that is revelation from God the Father. God has revealed that to you. And in that revelation, you are blessed. I think that's absolutely amazing. You know what? I think sometimes when God speaks, it seems really normal. You know, it's natural. You know, like, this wasn't this angel showing up to Peter, and then all of a sudden he speaks this word of God. No, just right away he's like, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And it seemed like a normal response. But do you know what it was? Revelation from God the Father to Peter, and he spoke it. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes I think We want to hear from God, and we think, okay, God speaks to his people, you know, but it has to be awesome, you know, like, of course, it's like the heavens opening and light shining down and angels showing up, and it's this unbelievable, you know, heavenly appointment. It's like he's in an earthquake or in the fire, and it's like, no, he's not there. He's in the still small voice, right? Still small voice. So Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Beloved, this is the revelation of God to his people about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of the living God. That's not one statement, he's saying two things. So the first one says, you are the Christ. Now, I don't know if you think this or not, but Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's not like he's like Jesus Christ. You know, it's not his last name. This was a title that was given to Jesus. And in the Greek, Christ is Christos, and it's the Greek word for Messiah in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. And the Messiah was the promised one that God was going to bring to save and deliver his people. Christ means that he was the anointed one or chosen one. And anointing in the Old Testament was about being chosen for something. And the anointing was you were chosen by God and that there was the presence of God on that person. So Christ was the chosen one of God, sent by God to be a deliverer, to be a rescuer for his people. And all throughout the Old Testament, God has been promising the Messiah, promising this chosen one that is going to come and rescue his people. And there's all kinds of promises in the Old Testament. And even starting in Genesis 3, so this is in the fall of man, okay? This was when sin entered the world. And as soon as sin entered in the world, guess what? God is beginning to reveal that, yes, sin has entered the world. There has been a fall. Sin has destroyed this relationship. But do you know what? God has a plan. He's sending a Messiah. He's sending a rescuer. So right away, Genesis 3:15 promises that from the seed and the offspring of a woman is going to become someone who is going to crush the head of Satan. Isn't that awesome? Genesis 3, right at the beginning, this promise of the Messiah. You go through to Abraham, this promise that through Abraham, through his line, there's going to be a people of faith, and through the people of God, all nations would be blessed. So this promise of Messiah, and I could go again and again, this promise, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, he's going to be born of a virgin, all these things. He was going to have a kingdom, he was going to have a throne, and it was going to start with King David, who was a type of Christ, he was a type of a Messiah, showing us a little flavor of who this Messiah was going to be like. And that kingdom was going to last forever. In Isaiah 9, says that he was going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it says, and his kingdom was going to last forever. Isn't that awesome? This is our Messiah. It also, in the Old Testament, promising the Messiah said that he was going to suffer for us. He was going to be pierced for our transgressions. He was going to be wounded for our iniquities. That the whole punishment of sin was going to be on him. It says that he was going to die amongst the wicked. It talks about the cross. So many promises in the Old Testament talking about this Messiah, this promised one of God who is going to be the great rescuer. So before Jesus came, the people of God were longing, waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for someone to save them. And it was going to be a person, a rescuer, called, sent, chosen by God to lead the people of God out. So that first confession is, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Jesus, you are the rescuer. Jesus, you are the deliverer. You are the one chosen by God, sent by God to rescue the people from sin and captivity and lead them out. You are the one that was going to crush Satan under your feet. Amen? But then it goes, you are the Son of the living God. And this is amazing to me. So Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the living God. You know why people were so shocked by Jesus and so ticked at him? Not even that he was claiming to be Messiah, but that he claimed to be God. That's why he died. He was claiming to be God. This is really been a hang-up for me, not in the sense of I have a problem, but like it just made me pause. There was a promised one going to be sent to save the world, and it was God who was going to leave heaven and come down to earth and rescue his people. How great a love we have in the Father. You know, not send a prophet, not send an angel, but he was going to empty himself of power to leave the throne room of heaven after creating all of this and come down to his people to be absolutely stripped and to be humbled and to be among the people that he created when he spoke it into existence. And he was going to be their rescuer. He was God. Do you see this? And he was going to be their rescuer. Isn't that amazing? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 says this, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. Listen to that. Creation was through Jesus and for Jesus. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him things, all things hold together. And he is head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Isn't that awesome? Jesus, preeminent over all things. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. So, Peter didn't just say the simple thing. This is the revelation from Father of who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And Christianity, this path, this journey that we're on is not about knowing things. It's about revelation. Here's the deal. Like, we can learn about this, but unless God reveals this truth to you, we don't have it. You know, this isn't about knowing the right things, reading the right books. This is about God revealing who he is to us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So even as we worship, even as we talk about this, if it's just me explaining this, this is dead and meaningless. Like, there's nothing here in special words that are being said unless the Holy Spirit brings it to life, right? Unless the Holy Spirit takes the word and enlightens our hearts and shows us what it is. Unbelievable. And then after that, he says, who do you say I am? He says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. Can you do the next verse, Adam? And Jesus answered, blessed are you. It's been revealed to you. Verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Unbelievable. So here's this magnificent confession and declaration of this is who Jesus is. And Jesus right away says this, and I tell you to Peter, your name is Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build this church. Now this verse has been spun all kind of different ways, but Peter means rock. So I want you to picture this. Jesus is pleased at what Peter said, and he looks at him and says, you are Peter. His name is Rock, so I want to picture this. You are Rock, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church. He's not pointing to him. Do you see this? Because Scripture does not validate that. The church isn't built on Peter. If that was the case, Scripture would back that up. Peter actually doesn't talk about that at all. The rest of Scripture doesn't talk about Peter being the cornerstone. Do you know who the cornerstone is? Christ. It says that Christ is the rock. So I want you to see this. Jesus says, you are rock, but on this rock, I will build my church. On this confession, which is Christ, I will build my church. It's not on a man. It's not on a personality. It's not on a strategy. It's not on an idea. Nothing like that. It's on Christ alone. I will build my church. I'll build it on myself. And this confession of me is what my church will be built upon. That you are the Christ, you are the great rescuer, and you are God. Do you see that? It is the confession of this truth that God builds his church on, with this Christ himself, the rock. You know, a lot of people think it's Peter the Rock, but you know, Roman Catholicism runs with this. All kinds of different religions run on this idea that it's Peter, and it's actually going to be through the line of Peter that the authority comes through. But I was reading the passage right after this passage, and it's interesting. Right after Jesus begins explaining that he's going to die, he's going to go to Jerusalem, and Peter says, no, that's not going to happen. And Jesus, to Peter, says, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Whoo! You know, like, don't rest on Peter, okay? I think if we have a walk away, like, don't rest on Peter, okay? He's a rock, but he's not a rock to build your house on, okay? Get behind me, Satan. Isn't that interesting? The rock is Christ. The rock is Christ. But do you know what God was saying to Peter? I'm going to make you like a rock. I am going to make you like a rock. Isn't that awesome? That's a good work that God was going to do in Peter's life. And you know what? He was. I'm going to build my church, but Christ is the rock, and this confession is the rock that we build our lives on. This is where we live. This is where we plant. These are the things that we die on a hill for, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And any deviation from that is robbing Jesus of who he is and is not true. That's why you get all these cults. It's like, they take a sliver of Jesus. Oh, they got Jesus in the mix. That's not Jesus. You know, he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. That is what the church is built on. And he says, I will build my church. Go ahead and go back. Verse 18. I will build my church. This is amazing good news for us. I will build my church. Jesus says, I will build my church. I will. Now this is something that's going to play out. I will. It was something that was going to happen. It was going to unfold. He was going to build it. It's not like he snapped his fingers and it was. He was going to build it because the church isn't a building, it's people. He's going to build a people. And you know what's interesting is that this is the very first time that church is used in the Bible. The very first time. Church wasn't this religious term that people used. It was something that was incorporated, this word church. And the whole idea of it is church, ecclesia, is group or a called out group. So Jesus said that there was going to be a called out group that he was going to build, and it was going to be his, and he was going to do it. He was committing himself to do that work. Isn't that awesome? I will build my church. My church. He's not God the Father's church. Jesus is saying, this is my church. And if you hear last week, this is part of that new covenant, John 17, when he was talking about, Father, they're yours. You've given them to me, right? So it's his church. That's why we say the church is his body. I am going to build my church. The beauty of church is it's all about Jesus. He's going to do it. He's going to build it. He's committed to it. It's his. We belong to him. We are rooted in Christ. We are put into Christ. We're seated with him in heavenly places because we are in him. We're part of his body. I will build my church. I'm going to expand it. It's going to grow. It's going to do what I intend it to be. And nothing is going to stop it. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against my church. My church. The Bible says that we're his bride. You know, it's not just that we belong to him. It's like he loves us. He loves us. And he's going to build it. And nothing's going to stand in his way. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. Gates, you know, like I think about this in our context, and gates aren't that threatening. You know, the gates aren't going to get us. You know, that's really scary. You know, what? The gates are going to come and fight us? But you have to know that gate, like we don't have gates like they did back then. Gates represented power. Like that's where the strength was. There was walls, fortresses, but it was the gates that represented the power of a city or a place. It was the gates that were fortified. It was the gates that represented strength. And in this passage, the gates are talking about all the forces of evil, all the plots, all the strategies of the evil one, all the power of the evil one. All of that is incorporated in what God was Jesus was saying, the gates, everything that represents Satan and his dominion, they're not going to prevail against the church. That's good news, but do you know what that implies? Oh, there's going to be battle. There's going to be lots of battle. There's going to be lots of evil plots. There's going to be lots of lies. There's going to be lots of confrontation. There's going to be a lot of darkness fighting light. But do you know what? It's not going to prevail against the church. It's not going to win. But it's going to be flat-out war. And beloved, I want to remind you that church is about war. You know, as soon as you enter into relationship with Jesus Christ, when he becomes your Lord, you didn't just sign up to, okay, I get to go to church now. No, you signed up for a battle. The battle of the ages. The battle for the souls of men and women. Because here's the deal. When Satan was cast out, when Satan lost to Jesus, do you know what the scripture says? That he came after us. He's after us now. He knows he can't beat Jesus, but do you know what? His most prized, beloved possession, oh, he's after us. He's after us. Revelation 12 speaks about that. Revelation 12, 17 says this, "Then the dragon," speaking of Satan, "became furious with the woman and went off after her to make war on the rest of her offspring." Listen to who the offspring is. "On those who keep the commands of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." So Satan is making war against those who keep the commands and hold to the testimony of Jesus. It's war, and he's after us. And beloved, you need to know that he's after you. Satan is. He's the condemner of the saints. He wants you to fall. The scripture says in 1 Peter that the devil's like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. That's you. You signed up for that when you signed up for Jesus, a target. I belong to Jesus. And Satan says, I want you. Right? This isn't flannel graph. Nice. We're in church. This is flat-out war for the saints, for the hearts and souls of all humankind. You see this? There's a weightiness to this. But the promise of that is that it will not prevail. It will not prevail. It will not prevail. Now, there's casualties, right? Like in war, there's casualties. And that's why I was thinking about Ephesians 6, you know, when Paul's talking about the armor of God, you know, put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and thinking about all these things so that you will stand when the day of evil comes, so that you will stand. And think about this. It's his truth. It's his righteousness. It's his salvation. It's his sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's faith that comes from him. It's all him. So the way that we prevail is in him. It's in him. It's his church. He's going to build it, but it has to be his way. He's the only one that brings the victory. If we say we are in him, but we don't go his ways, we're not going to succeed. Do you see this? Because he's our only hope against the evil one. He is the only one. And then he says this, "And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven." It is such an unbelievable promise. And it's talking about to the kingdom. I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom of God. The rule and reign of Christ, my kingdom, I'm going to give you the keys to. Now, this has a few different layers to it. You think about this. So Peter was the first one at Pentecost to what? Open up the gospel, right? So Jesus had his followers, the 120, said, "Wait for power in Jerusalem. I'm going to come." And then Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came, and they went out, and boom, the gospel was there. And 3,000 people came to Christ. It's like all Peter unlocked it, the kingdom of God, to the Jews. And that was through Peter. And the idea here is gates, right? Same thing, open, close. You have to think bind, loose. Loose, open, bind, close. So he was going to loose the gospel to the Gentiles. And do you know what? It's through Peter that Jesus used Peter to loose the gospel to the Gentiles. There was this hang up, like, I think it's just for the Jews, not the Gentiles. And God gave Peter a revelation, a vision that nothing was unclean. And he had this love for the Gentiles. And he saw that the gospel was for all people. It wasn't just God's chosen people, Israel. It's for all people. So he went to the Gentiles with the gospel, Cornelius. And do you know what? The Gentiles received the gospel. The Gentiles were transformed. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. And thank God, because we're here now. We're part of that. So it was through Peter that these doors were opened. But this is so much more than just that first opening of the gospel. See, in Christ and in this confession, we've been given authority. Do you see this? Keys are about authority. Keys are a big deal. You get keys to your house, it's a big deal. I have authority over this home. But keys come with responsibility. But that's another talk. That's another talk for another time. But I was thinking about two examples in the scripture where we see this. Remember when Jesus is about to go, he said, all authority has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations. Do you know what he's saying? I give you the keys. Now go make disciples. Open this up to all nations. Teach them, baptize them in the name of the Lord. I'll be with you always. Isn't that awesome? Authority given. But you look on the other side, things to close. Remember, it's talking about Satan, the roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Do you know what it says after that? Resist him. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Take the keys, the authority that I've given him, and close that door in faith. Just like that. Isn't that crazy? See, beloved, being a Christian isn't about now I go to church and think the right things. We're signing up for war, and we've been given authority in Christ to do the work of Christ. It's unbelievable. We get to partner with the Lord of the universe and continue his mission here on earth. Amen? But he's committed to it. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell, the strength of hell, the weapons of hell, everything that hell has standing against us, they're not going to prevail. Now, beloved, this isn't a promise that every church that says we're going to do a church is going to all of a sudden, that's not what this is. The kingdom of God is not about a specific group or a specific building, a specific church name. He's talking about the kingdom, the church, the big C church. And this is part of like faith that we need to understand that God is working for good, that he has started good work, he's going to continue to do it. And when you do things God's way, do you know what? He's committed to it. God is not going to let someone fail who's walking with him and doing his work and walking his way under the confession of that. You are the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. That will not be prevailed against. Amen? Amen. But with our eyes, sometimes we look around and we don't see it that way. But you need to know, you need to believe, beloved, that he's committed to his church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus said this. And Jesus cannot lie. You see this? This is true or it's not. Right? It's true or it's not. And beloved, I want to remind us as a body that this is what we get to be a part of. Not just us, but us. All of us, the church of Jesus Christ, in every generation, all over the world, who are together, usually on Sundays, gathering and coming back to Christ, the Son of the living God, focusing your eyes on Jesus again. Why? So we can be the light of the world. Is that awesome? Beloved, you're part of this. You're part of this. And I believe the Lord is inviting us in to a deeper understanding of that. You know, you're part of the church. It's not just about being part of attending something. Good God, if that's it, I don't want that. It's about being part of God's great work here on the earth, because he loves us so much. We're going to close in worship, but we've been talking about the church big, but you need to know that this truth is also for you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And the verse I was thinking about is when Jesus said, this is in Philippians, Paul says this, that he who began a good work in you is going to be faithful to complete it. Is that good? See, the church is this, but it's this, 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 this. There's not going to be a church unless there's you and me and me and you and you and you and you and you. Do you know what I mean? That's how he builds the church. It's one by one by one by one. And the promise of God is this, that he has started a good work and he will be faithful to complete it. He is going to build it. You belong to him. And guess what? The gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. Amen? Isn't that good news? As we close in worship, I feel like there's a reverence of sitting in faith, believing that this is true. And I don't know what all the battles are, but as the people of God, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And he who is for us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this unbelievable truth. God, thank you for revealing this truth to us. God, thank you for this truth that sets us free. God, I ask that we would be faithful to what you're calling us to, and we would be the church. God, that we would be the church, the called out group that belong to you, that you've committed yourself to. God, build your church here in Santa Rosa. God, build your church here in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County. God, we stand against the forces of the evil one. God, we stand against the lies that come against who Jesus is. Father, I ask that you would open eyes, that they would see who you are, God. I think of our neighbors and our coworkers and people in our family, Lord Jesus. God, thank you that you're going to have a people, but God, our hearts are for the people that don't yet know. God, I ask that, for one, that what already is would not be destroyed by the evil one, but Lord, we're asking for the kingdom to come. We're asking for the gates of hell to not prevail, Lord. If anything, they'd be pushed back, Lord, that the kingdom of light would advance, Jesus. God, we're asking that there would be a great turning to you in Jesus' name. Lord, that as a church, that we'd be faithful witnesses of the Christ. Lord, that we'd be faithful servants. And Lord, that we'd be empty vessels used by you, Jesus. Right where we are, Jesus. Empower us as your body, Lord, to continue the work that you started, Jesus. And Father, give us hope and strength to continue on. In Jesus' name.